Today's sermon title is Letting Go. Somebody say, Letting Go. And I believe it has a lot to do with last week's sermon title and even with the sermon. So you could say it's a continuation. But today I want to talk a little bit about what happened with that wonderful reading that is a little bit confusing at times. But first, you know how crowds can be, right? When all of a sudden it starts small, and all of a sudden the crowd starts getting big very quickly. As people, especially as people gather around celebrities, right? Celebrities that, and because some of the people come, if there's a celebrity around, they come out of curiosity. They all gather. And then when the celebrity comes in and finally gets there, people begin to have some kind of change in the atmosphere. All of a sudden, the nature of the meeting, of the gathering changes, and it starts getting more celebrative. It starts getting kind of parade-ish. It's some kind of celebration. And then the notable person that they were looking for, that celebrity or whatever, seems to get followed around by everybody else. Maybe they want their autograph. Maybe they just want to be with this special person. And that's the way it goes. If you would see somebody all of a sudden probably walking down Main Street in Patchogue, if you had a celebrity coming down that road and somebody might spot him, all of a sudden rumor gets around and the crowd gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it starts changing the nature of the gathering. And that is what it was like with, kind of like what it was like with Jesus and what we were seeing and hearing from Joan this morning. Now, Jesus often had only his disciples, just his disciples around him for gatherings. And maybe sometimes he had some other dinner parties with other people. But here in the passage that was read, we see him in the public arena. And by the way, Jesus had a lot of followers. He, in that time, if there was anything similar to a celebrity, that was Jesus right there. All of a sudden, his name and the things that he was doing, they just startled people. People that were there were people that were following Jesus. And perhaps these people had no clue of the destination of Jesus himself, or even his purpose. Some of these people hadn't had an idea. But they eagerly awaited because they were curious, because they wanted to see what was coming up next. Because this Jesus guy was full of surprises, you see. The scripture really does not tell us. The scripture does not tell us what they were hoping for, these people, not really. What they all expected, not all of them. Maybe they did not know either. But Jesus' reputation was growing. And I guess that some of those people, I guess most of them, did not want to miss out on the next special thing this man was about to do. They were curious. How many of you have been curious before? Now, there's another saying that is not so good. Curiosity, what happened to the cat there? Yeah, it wasn't good, says Bob here, right? But these people, they didn't know. They didn't know. No, they did not know. So they stayed with him as he traveled. They stuck with him, likely oblivious to any cost, that anything that they would even be asked for in the future. They came to meet some harsh, hard words. That Joni actually talked about this morning. Those hard words that came out of the lips of Jesus remind me of a movie that I always turn back to. Can you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? You all know, what's that movie called? Rush Hour. He essentially said this. Let me repeat that. He essentially said, "Do you have any idea what you're all getting yourselves into?" Sometimes we get into things that we don't even know what we're getting into. A lot of these people were getting into that kind of situation. Chances are they didn't know what was going on. But then came those words. Then came those words that are a little startling. Whoever does not hate father and mother, whoever does not carry the cross. Uh-oh. Somebody say, uh-oh. Now, if you were following this person, celebrity, whatever, and all of a sudden he comes out with some remarks like this, now put yourself right in the middle of all that. What would you do? The exhilaration all of a sudden starts to dampen. The fun is sucked right out of everything, probably, right? What is this? Did I hear right? Did he say to do this? I can only imagine. My mind starts. I am a very imaginative feller, you know? And I'm thinking right now of how that would have felt for those people. I can almost see how the crowd starts peeling away. Peeling away from the crowd. Trying to get their elbowing out. No, this guy's turned nuts. Let's get out of here. I don't know about this. This is getting kind of crazy here. And I ask you, would you have stayed? Give me a smile. Would you have stayed? Would I have stayed? I don't know. I hope I would have. Now, we don't know how many left that day after those remarks. How many of them were probably disappointed that the fun was over so soon? It was just getting good. Why did he have to ask for this? And we don't know how many stayed, by the way. Probably because they were finally having somebody, someone important asking them something of them, requiring something of them, calling them to do something that was beyond themselves. We don't know. I would like to think that you and I would be among those who leaned forward, to lean forward with curiosity, for Christ was bringing up a challenge, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Rather than retreating, I would like to think that we would be some of those who would stick around in search of what was coming next, amen. Now, years ago, I want to say that there was a few hundred people that went over to see Dr. Tony Capolo. Have you ever heard of Tony Capolo? Yes? He was speaking about the decline of so many churches in the midst of the American culture that were only seeking or mainly seeking entertainment and self-satisfaction above all things, above everything else. He spoke, though, that time primarily to a group of young people. And I am so glad that we have young people here today. Young people and those who feel young, raise your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was speaking to these young people that were really trying to seek God, trying to see how these people passionately would follow Christ. And remember, he was also talking about those churches that were going after entertainment and self-satisfaction. But Tony Capolo said, no, It is not entertainment that these young people are attracted to at the church level. It is not food, drinks, games, not even a pal relationship at the church level with the youth leader. That's not what can bring them in. That's not what can reel them in necessarily, because they could get any of that elsewhere. Now, here's the truth about this. This, what I'm talking about, that brings in young people also applies to the people who are not that young anymore. That means all of us. It does not involve movies, a good movie to reel them in. It does not involve the right kind of music to reel them in. Oh, it doesn't. It's not even a chance to hang out with friends that brings them in. What inspires young people to follow hard after Jesus is the sense of having a call upon their lives. A call. A call to make them feel like they matter in this world, like they have a purpose in this world, an invitation to sacrifice for a greater good. A sense that they can and will and must make a difference in this world. That's not only for young people. That's for everybody. If you feel that you're worthy, that you can do something, that you still have value, that changes things. And God can give you that sense in your heart and in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, what he was saying was, challenge them. Challenge young people. What God is telling me, Pastor, challenge your people. Challenge your church, not only the youth. Challenge everybody, Patchogue United Methodist Church. Do you want a challenge? I'm going to give you a challenge coming by way of Christ God to you today. Now, Tony had great success at this time getting into the minds of the people to understand what really brings these young people to Christ. And you know what? I think that the one thing that we really need to get into people is a commitment of heart. A commitment of our hearts to follow, even in the midst of challenges. Even in the midst of all the things that are going around, and for the sake of the gospel. And those young people, and everywhere now today, I want you to have this in mind, because I have young people at my house. I have a 20-year-old and I have a 15-year-old. I know what I'm talking about. We sometimes get the wrong idea of what brings these young people to God, and even people in general. Young people do not shy away from that which is hard, like we might think. They shy away from low expectations. If you ask for little, that's what they're going to give you back. If you ask for a lot more and give them responsibility and make them feel value in themselves and challenge them, they will give back greatly. Hallelujah. Oh, that's not just for young people. For everybody. But are there limits? Are there limits to what Jesus should ask for those who would follow him? Are there limits to what we should ask of those who would follow the way of Christ? Now those words again. Hate father and mother. Really? Somebody say, really?
Really?
Come on now. The word has to be taken in its correct context. And when we're reading the Bible, some of the words have a different meaning and context. When taken from the Greek, you have to sometimes tweak it a little to understand the context in which it was written. In the passage where Jesus used this word, he was more talking about letting go, which is the sermon title today, letting go. detaching oneself from something. Now, when he said this word, these words, it did not bring forth the negative connotations and emotions that repel us today when we hear the words hate groups, hate crimes, or even I hate you and stuff like that. That's not what he was talking about. That was not what he was talking about. Instead, the crowd there must have understood something like this. The crowd there must have understood that they needed to do something. That unless you go, you let go of father and mother and give following Christ the highest, highest, highest priority, you would have a problem with being a disciple. Even above your own self. Unless you realize that the journey would probably cost you something. Somebody understand this. This thing about following Christ is not easy, but it is sure worth it. Somebody say amen. We're going to have some sacrifices. Others may actually discredit us. Others may not understand our way, who we're following, our decision to go to church, to be part of a Christian faith community. They'll probably have a hard time with that. But he's asking us to make that our spiritual life and our journey our highest priority. And all other things, they will come in time. God will continue to bless us. Why? Why is he asking this of us? Because Jesus' way is ultimately a different way. Jesus' way of confronting the powers is different. The powers of the world that foster injustice, inequity, oppression, racism, and all the other isms that you may see around this world that just take us apart from each other. Jesus' way is ultimately about being advocates for somebody else, for the poor, for the homeless, for the sick. Jesus' way is ultimately a way of challenging even those religious authorities who stand in the way of the love of God and neighbor and the highest values of the kingdom of God. And I'm almost finishing here. Somebody say, aw. Yeah, right. You guys want me to finish right now. I'm going to finish. Now, all of this sacrifice, all of this challenge talk, all of this letting go talk, it has to be planned out. One cannot walk that kind of path that is being asked of us without planning for it, without planning how will you respond when the resistance comes. And resistance would probably come from family and friends who might see you as a radical or a crazy. Why are you going to church on Sunday? Today is football Sunday. You got to get ready, popcorn and barbecue and all that kind of stuff. And we still got people here today praising Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, a lot of people are going to ask us questions. And we're going to have to know how to talk to them about what is most important to us. Without planning how to let go of all those things that might prevent you from being a faithful disciple, we're going to have a hard time. But we have to acknowledge what those things are. We have to acknowledge seriously what are the things that are pulling us back. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's material belongings that are preventing us from living out the life that God wants us to live. Now, we spoke about our youth and our children, and we think that we are losing our children to a life of just seeking entertainment and self-absorption. Are we? as our churches are declining because so many things, are they declining because we're afraid to require more of our people? Are we challenging our people enough? Are we challenging our youth enough? Do you think that they can't take it? I think you can. This church can take a lot of challenges. Now, we've been around for a long, long time. How many years? Somebody tell me right now. Two? Something. All right, that's a long time. Are we done? Church. Are we finished? Was whatever that God told us or inspired us to do finished? Or do we still dream the dreams of Christ? Do we still think we can go forward? Do we still think that we can do something different? Do we still think that we can change the hearts of the people through Jesus Christ with a message of love, a message of hope? Do you still think we got it in us? So I challenge you today, if you think you can do something, if you think there's something to be done, do it with me. Now you have a young, very handsome pastor.
This is true.
He's so modest. Hallelujah. I'm 42 years old. And every day I wake up, I ask God, I want to be there for a long time, or at least for a while. Now, that's not all entirely up to me, because that's the way it goes in the United Methodist Church. But I tell you what, this is the time. You might not get another young pastor, but you have one now that is willing to run with you with ideas to run that way or whatever way and do whatever it takes to make this work for the sake of other people who don't have the hope that we have. We need to do something, my friends. Our time is not over. Our mission is not complete. We need to continue to work. I said I was going to finish, and I'm getting happy now. So don't be afraid. Not with our youth, not with each other. Challenge ourselves in the love of Christ, because I know that people are willing to respond. Do not shy away, my friends, from discipleship. Even if it's costly, do not shy away from it. Don't try to take shortcuts. It's not going to be the same kind of blessing. Go get your knees scraped spiritually if you need to. But do it. You're going to really, really be happy you did go the way. Rise to the challenge Jesus lays before us. And like the word said, pick up your cross, whatever that cross might be. You know what you're dealing with right now. You know what is the one thing or the many things that might be sending you back, that might be pulling you back. Let it go. Somebody say, let it go. Let it go. It might be some relationship that really hurts you in the past. Let it go. It might be some emotion that you're feeling that you need to forgive or be forgiven, and you have to let that go. It might be that you're hanging too hard to a petition, to a request that you put in God's hands, and if you put it in God's hands, leave it there. Wait until he gets back to you, because he will, but let it go. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach for another hour now. Listen to me. Let it go. Pick up your cross and get with the program. Jesus is with you all the way. And when you feel that your powers, that your strength is going to go, he will pick you up. He will lift you up. And he says, it's not with your power. It's not with your strength. It's with the strength of the Holy Spirit that the church will ever make a difference in this world. Do you understand? Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? I don't intend to make it feel nice. I don't intend to make it sound nice, and sometimes I don't even understand myself. But I'm talking to you from el corazón, from my heart, in plain rice and beans, that this is not that difficult, that this needs challenge. This needs for us to change our way of looking at things. Grab on tight to that cross you need to pick up. And don't be afraid. Grab hold of the hard work of the gospel, because therein lies life. Life. Are you up to the challenge, my friends? May God bless you and keep you, so that we may together, as disciples of Christ, continue to be the body of Christ for such a time as this.